We have a pretty dramatic parable in the gospel today. Christ goes back and builds off the vineyard parable from Isaiah. But we have this contrast between the landowner, who takes such love and such care to plant this wonderful vineyard with choice vines. And then you have the contrast with these wicked tenants who are so selfish, completely unreasonable. They're greedy and they're violent. This parable, it almost sounds unrealistic that these tenants would be so twisted that after being leased this vineyard, they would just go in and start killing the servants of the landowner, and even to the point of killing his son, thinking that they'll get his inheritance, when in actuality, they're going to get punished with death. But I think this parable, it's so dramatic, but it's almost unrealistic, except the fact that we know how true it is. We know what it's talking about. We know it's about God as the landowner and how the people of Israel killed the prophets, and ultimately Jesus Christ himself was crucified. But that continues to the present day. You know, this isn't something that just happened 2,000 years ago. I think we can see the same thing in the world today. You know, if we look at the care that our Lord has put into the creation of each one of us, and we hear in Scripture that the Lord knows the number of hairs on our head. You know, if we think about the care that he's put into forming every detail of our face, our eyes, you know, our bodies, our hands, you know, the fact that our bodies are so incredible. When we injure ourselves, they can actually heal themselves. And we have an immune system that protects our body against diseases. If we think about the care and the thought that our Lord has put into the formation of each one of our bodies. And then if we look at our souls, and the fact that God has directly infused our soul into each one of us. You know, and that's where our intellect and our free will and our memory, you know, our sense of humor, our temperament, elements of our character that make us unique, you know, our ability to enter into relationships with others, our friendships, our family relationships, you know, all of these things. You know, God has formed our souls. Think about the care that our Lord has put into the formation of each one of us. And then if we think about the care that he's taken to lead each one of us on the path of salvation. You know, how he did send the prophets, and he's given us Scripture, and he sent his Son with the incarnation to enter into human history, and even to undergo his passion and death. And then how he founded the church to continue to pass on the sacraments and the truths of our faith. And how in every generation for 2,000 years, our Lord has raised up priests and religious in order to continue the work of the church. And some of them have fallen from grace, but the vast majority of them have been very holy, very faithful individuals that our Lord has raised up in order to continue the work of salvation. And if we think of the care that our Lord has put into creating us and leading us to salvation, it's overwhelming. And if we compare that to how we respond so often, you know, if we look at the world today and we look at the human race, we're a mess. It's a disaster. You know, on a worldwide scale, we have the insanity of North Korea, who's gearing up for nuclear war so they can nuke nations that have done nothing to them. We have Iran that wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. We have the war in Syria, and we have Boko Haram and all these groups in Africa slaughtering people. You know, the chaos. You know, if these people, if these leaders, instead of buying into their own insanity, would just for 1 minute recognize the God who has created human beings in their image and likeness, or if they would simply fall on their knees and pray a rosary every day, think of how different this world would be. And yet they don't do that. And if we look at the United States, and if we look at the toll that the sexual liberation movement has had, we're turning into a nation of hedonists. You know, we can see devastation in the family with the increasing levels of divorce. We have plummeting birth rates. We have people who want to behave however they want, and they don't want to accept the consequences of children. And so they'll even resort to abortion so that they can continue to live the way that they want without the consequences, or at least they think. You know, rather than embracing chastity, we've decided that others must die so that we can live how we want. And we can see within ourselves, within our families and our personal lives, how few people, how few Catholics even will come to church and acknowledge their Creator. Because as a society, as a whole, we've rejected God and we've turned away from Him. And we think that somehow it's going to turn out well and we're going to get some great inheritance and some great happiness and wealth because of that. When in actuality, it just leads to death. I think this parable on the surface, it might sound unrealistic that human beings would behave in such an unreasonable way. But the reality is, I think it underestimates how unrealistic, how unreasonable we are as human beings. It underestimates the wickedness that we have in our hearts so often against the infinite goodness of God and the care that He's taken in forming us. You know, if God has formed us with such love and with such thought, and if we see within our bodies such order, the way that they work and the way they function so well, and if we look at the world around us, you know, how the Lord has created this planet for us and how it's sustained us so abundantly, century after century, millennium after millennium, why don't we trust that if we follow His laws, that our souls will flourish as well? Has the Lord not given us reason to trust Him? You know, why will we not simply make that act of trust that if we embrace the Lord's commandments and the path that He shows us, if we embrace that in its entirety, that we'll flourish? Why will we not trust Him? What reason has He given us that we shouldn't trust Him? And the reality is, so few people even give God a chance. So many people will reject Him and reject His will for their life without ever even knowing Him, without ever first giving Him a chance. Or they treat Him lukewarmly or in a cold manner. From our second reading, St. Paul promises us the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. If we would trust the Lord, if we would embrace His will for us in its entirety, St. Paul is promising us a peace that's beyond all understanding. If we devote ourselves to, as St. Paul says, a life of truth, of honor, of purity, of loveliness, graciousness, and excellence, a life that's worthy of praise. But in order to do that, we have to put our lives in proper order. They have to be ordered properly. Which means, first and foremost, we have to acknowledge our Creator, the God who brought us into existence. We have to acknowledge Him, not just with an intellectual faith, saying that, yes, I believe in His existence, but we have to embrace Him in our hearts as well, in our minds and in our wills. We have to love Him and embrace His will for us in its entirety. And we have to live for a purpose in His will beyond our own will. And if we do that, we're promised a peace beyond all understanding. And so a good question for us to meditate upon as we have these readings today is, how effectively are we bearing fruit in our lives? Have we given ourselves over in love and obedience, in loving service to our Lord? And are we producing abundant fruit in our lives? Or have we rejected Him like the wicked tenants? And what do we need to do in our lives to conform our lives more perfectly to the will of our loving Father? What behavior or what attitude do we need to change? Or what sacrifice do we need to make? What needs to be different in our lives so that we can better serve in His vineyard? And if we do so, if we commit ourselves to serving well in the Lord's vineyard, we're promised a peace beyond all understanding.